Join me in the reading of the scripture this morning. It's found in Philippians. It's found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And will we please all stand to hear the reading of the gospel? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Well, good morning again to you on this Lord's Day, first Lord's Day of the new year, 2022. I must confess that even when I say 2022, it sounds unreal. It sounds too futuristic. You wonder, you look out the window, where are the flying cars? Where are the automation that we've been promised in science fiction all these years? But nevertheless, we are here. And it's that time of year again when, in a fit of optimism, many of us make promises to ourselves about what it is we're going to do in the new year, which we usually abandon by the second week in January. Well, let's be honest. Think back to 2021. How many of you kept to that diet? How many of you actually exercised past Three Kings Day? Well, this year, I decided to do something different. This year, I made a New Year's resolution that I know I will be able to keep. And that is this: I hereby resolve that I will eat more and exercise less. And I'm well on that road already, so. But this morning, I want to talk about resolutions. Resolutions that can make a big difference in your life. Resolutions that can and will change your life. These resolutions are grounded in the Word of God. And if we honor them, 2022 can be the best year of your life. First, resolve to forget your failures. Let me repeat that. Resolve to forget your failures. The scripture reading this morning in Philippians that we just read tells us that we should press on towards the goal and forget what is behind. Now, these words were written by the Apostle Paul during the height of his missionary activity between 50 and 58 AD, making them the earliest surviving Christian documents. They even predate Mark, which is the earliest gospel, by at least 10 years. And simply put, they teach us that we don't have to live our lives imprisoned by our past. We don't have to live chained to our failures. Rather, they encourage us to press on, to forget the past, forget what is behind. And too often, there is much to forget. All of us have failed in some way in our lives over the last year. We may not see that failure recorded in history or on the 6 o'clock news, but they are recorded. They're recorded in our minds and they're recorded in our hearts. For many, those recordings are painful. Maybe it's a memory of how you failed in a relationship, or how you made the wrong decision. Maybe it's how you said or did something wrong that soured a relationship. Those of us who are parents probably know that we failed our children in some way. And some of you children know that you have failed your parents. It's more likely that most of us know that we have failed ourselves in some way. And all of us know that we have somehow failed God. But take heart. Be of good cheer this morning. This is what the Word of God says about that. He tells us that we should not let ourselves be bogged down by the past, that we should not dwell on the past so much that it stops us from moving forward into the future that God has for us, that when things go wrong, we don't have to go with them. The start of the new year is a good time to rise to that challenge, to say to yourself, with the help of God, I am going to forget the past. I'm going to stop torturing myself about what I did or what I didn't do, that I will not keep beating myself up by obsessing over my mistakes. A new year is a good time to stop being chained by your past. It's a new year, a new beginning, a fresh start. God speaks to us through the Apostle Paul in this passage, and he tells us that he doesn't want us to go through life calling ourselves failures. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be free. When we become Christians, that forgiveness became a reality in our lives. And having received Christ's forgiveness, we can forgive ourselves and forget our failures. The psalmist David wrote, "As far as east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." Now that's an amazing way to put it. It doesn't say north from south, because we all know that if you start out going north and you keep going, whether you like it or not, sooner or later you will be going south again. And it's nothing you did, it's just there. North meets south. But east never meets west. If you start going east and keep traveling east, you will forever be going east. And that is how far our transgressions are separated from us, as far as the east is from the west. Brethren, in 2022, let's claim the victory of Philippians 3 and resolve to forget our failures. The second resolution is to give up your grudges. Listen to these words from the book of Colossians, because in them you will hear the second resolution that will make 2022 a significant turning point in your life. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now in these words, God is challenging us directly and personally to give up our grudges. That's what it means to forgive the quarrels you may have against another. Out of quarrels are born grudges. Grudges, those deep, ongoing resentments that we cultivate in our hearts against someone else. Grudges, also known by other names, rancor, bitterness, dislike, resentment, hatred, prejudice, meanness, that spirit that I don't get mad, I get even. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit, and it leads to unforgiving attitudes, which in turn leads to unforgiving action. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for someone. But what you need to realize is that grudges are dangerous, because they are destructive, destructive in every way. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges break up families. Grudges ruin friendships. And yes, grudges even split churches. Let's be honest enough to admit that one of the problems in the body of Christ in general are the grudges that Christians feel towards one another. I tell you this, if you're holding on to a grudge, then God has something to say to you. Listen, give it up. Remember that grudges are not just destructive, they are self-destructive. When you hold a grudge, you will hurt yourself as much as perhaps, or perhaps more, than the person that you're holding it against. As I was preparing for this morning, I came across an example of just how destructive and self-destructive a grudge can be. There's a man in Pennsylvania, a very wealthy man, who when he divorced his wife, and it was a very bitter divorce, was ordered to pay her $2.5 million in a settlement. And he refused to do it. His grudge against her was so great that he refused to do it. Well, the judge ordered him to do it, and he didn't. And I can tell you with some authority that when a judge tells you to do something and you don't do it, there are consequences. And in this case, the consequence was that the judge locked him up and ordered him to pay. Now, that kind of a lockup means that you carry the key to the jail in your pocket. If you want to get out, all you have to do is obey the order, and you're out. You're free. Well, this man wouldn't do that. His grudge was so great that he refused to do it. And, of course, he had to stay in jail until he did. Now, how long do you suppose he stayed in jail? What would be a wild guess? Months? Weeks? Days? How about 14 years? 14 years that man sat in a Pennsylvania jail because he would not obey the court order. Until finally, the judge came to the conclusion that nothing was going to force this man to pay that money, and he was released. But to this day, he holds the record of civil contempt, being locked up for civil contempt, and it's 14 years. The worst part of it is that he was a lawyer. So he should have known better. Well, make no mistake, if you keep harboring a grudge, it will eventually destroy you. Maybe not physically, but certainly emotionally, and spiritually, it will make you a bitter and twisted person. The book of Job in chapter 21 describes people who have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Do you really want to be remembered that way, as that kind of a person? Jesus spoke about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king, and then refused to forgive a much smaller debt that was owed to him. Jesus said that such an unforgiving spirit landed that person in jail. One writer puts it this way: unforgiving servants always end up in prison. Prisons of anger, prisons of guilt, and prisons of depression. God says to us in His Word, don't sentence yourself to prison. When things go wrong, don't go with them. Set yourself free and give up your grudges. Forgive each other, whatever you may have against one another. According to God's word, the way to give up a grudge is to forgive. It's just that simple. Now, let's be careful and notice what God is not saying here. He isn't asking you to ignore whatever it is that person did. Or he's not asking you to pretend it didn't happen. He doesn't ask you to condone it or to pretend that it doesn't matter. What God is asking you to do is to forgive that grievance. That means that you acknowledge how wrong and painful it was what they did to you, but then, as an act of your will, you forgive that person who did the wrong to you. In Matthew 18, we read, then Peter came up to the Lord and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? as many as seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. I have no doubt that there are people who hear my voice this morning who need to give up the grudges and forgive the grievances they have against someone else. Some may need to forgive the grievance against parents for what they did or didn't do. Some may need to forgive children for the same reason. Some may need to forgive a partner for emotional or physical abuse. Some of you may even need to give up grudges against people in this fellowship. Well, God says that deep-seated resentment that you have, it has to go. And what better time, what better way to make that difficult decision than at the start of a new year? Now, please, let's not kid ourselves. Don't tell God, and don't tell me that I just can't forgive that person. Because what you really mean to say is that you won't forgive that person. If Christ can forgive our sins, even when it meant being tortured, being humiliated, and being nailed to a cross, then surely you can give up the grievance you have against someone else. And so in 2022, my friends, honor the command of Colossians 3 and resolve to give up your grudges. And don't do it for them. Do it for you. The third resolution is to resolve to restore broken relationships. Now, if you've worked with computers, you know about the little windows that pop up and ask you if you want to run a check to see if the programs are working properly. Well, God in His Word issues a similar invitation. It is an invitation not to check to see if our computer is working, but to check to see whether our relationships are working. In Romans 12, we read, it is possible, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, the key phrase here is, as much as it lieth in you. By using that phrase, God is personally calling each of us to do all we can do to restore our relationships. The Lord wants us to do everything we can to restore any relationship that may have gone wrong in our lives. Now, granted, some relationships might have gone wrong because of what the other person did, and that person may not be interested in restoration. Well, God recognizes that. That's why He starts the passage by saying, if it is possible. But let's not kid ourselves. Some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we have done. When God says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, He is saying that if you have caused a break in a relationship, then you have the responsibility to do everything you can to restore it. And that everything includes the one thing that we probably all, me included, find most difficult to do. And that is, ask for forgiveness. I'm sure I'm not the only person here who finds it hard to say, I'm sorry. I wonder how many relationships are not all they should be or could be, simply because someone won't say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm just as sure that some of us need to ask forgiveness for harsh words and cutting remarks that have really wounded others. God is telling us that this change of year is the right time to restore a ruined relationship by going and sincerely saying to that person that you are sorry for those angry words or that selfish and unthoughtful action. One commentator put it this way: restitution deals more than with property. It is also going back and making things right for hurtful things that I've said, It is far easier for me to tell you a story than it is to tell you how difficult and painful those times were when I had to ask for forgiveness from my wife, from my boss, my friends, my secretary. Restitution is asking forgiveness for harsh words, a quick tongue, or a cutting remark. It is asking forgiveness from a brother who you hurt, a mother who you caused heartache, or a spouse who you hurt. Restitution is confessing and seeking forgiveness from a neighbor or a roommate. It is admitting past error in a relationship and humbly seeking forgiveness from the one that I've hurt. It is harder to make personal restitution than property restitution. Make no mistake, it is and it will be hard to do. But one of the most dramatic things you can do to mark the passage of the new year is not to set off fireworks, but to admit your past errors in a relationship and humbly ask for forgiveness from the person that you've hurt. And so, my friends, in 2022, honor the command of Romans 12 and resolve to restore broken relationships. And again, don't do it for them, do it for you. And lastly, resolve to turn your back on nagging sin. I read that after the American Civil War, many slaves who had been freed decided to stay with their former masters and continue to do what they were told. They had been set free, but they chose to remain as slaves. And that is exactly how many Christians choose to live. Christ died to set us free, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to stay free. But just like those former slaves, many Christians still choose to obey their old master, sin. In Romans 6, we read, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." When God tells us not to let sin control the way we live and not to give in to its desires, he's challenging us to turn our backs on our disobedience. When we were saved, we gave up most sins quite readily, no problem. But there are certain things that we know are wrong and that we really battle with, and we just can't seem to shake off. Some Christian writers have called this besetting sin, while others describe it as a nagging sin. It's those things that we know are wrong and that we battle with, but we just can't seem to shake. And too often we embrace. It's the ones that we struggle with. And even though we know better, we go back again and again. And each time we feel terrible for it and more disappointed with ourselves. Now, this struggle is not new. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not, and what I hate to do, I do." Nor is this struggle a coincidence. Satan knows all about your struggle, and he deliberately directs his attack to it. In short, after giving in to a nagging sin, we are overcome with disappointment, followed by guilt, and then despair, all of which lead to the dark side. This is no way to live. Constantly defeated by the same old sin. It's like a scab that won't heal and we just keep picking on it. It's like someone with cataracts who doesn't do anything about the blurring eyesight and just learns to live with it. This is the attitude of many to nagging sin. They don't think they can do anything about it, and they just learn to live with it. But the question we face this morning is this: is your spiritual life suffering because you have learned to live with it? Do you have a quick temper that you constantly give into? or a tongue that loves to assassinate other people's character or wound their feelings? Have you learned to live with that critical judgment and that attitude that you know is wrong? Or is it something else? In His Word, God challenges us to turn our back on nagging sin, to stop letting it control the way we live, to stop giving in to it, to stop obeying the old master. Now, let's be clear about this. Jesus' death broke the power of sin, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to resist sin. And that, my friends, means that when things go wrong, you don't have to go with them. You really don't. And so in 2022, my friends, honor the commands of Romans 6 and resolve to turn your back on nagging sin. And finally, and in closing, 2022. This is a new year, and it will really be something to celebrate if we will make and keep these four biblical resolutions. First, resolve to forget your failures and strain towards the prize which God has for us. Second, resolve to give up your grudges and forgive those who have hurt you. Third, resolve to restore broken relationships as far as it depends on you, and live in peace with your neighbors and with everyone. And fourth, resolve to turn your back on nagging sin and claim the victory that Jesus bought for you on the cross. Brethren, let's make 2022 a great year. Let's make it a great year and make this resolution. Let us resolve that by the grace of God, when things go wrong, I will not go with them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the light of Your Word. We thank You for Your love. You do all things well, and You knew from the beginning of time that we would be here in this place and at this time to hear this word. Let it take root in our hearts, and let us be obedient to Your will according to the light that You give us. In Jesus' name, amen. And the benediction, God be with you. Happy New Year, and God bless you for coming.